Right. Singing one special, but doing two.
Amen.
It's appreciated. It sure is. And I really appreciate how the she surrenders to the Lord. And no, it's something even better than singing good is having the right spirit when you're singing. And if you can have both, that's like a double portion. You sing good and you have the spirit. So that's just right. Stay humble, sister. And God will continue to bless you. Bless your ministry of music. Because that is a ministry. You know,
right.
There's been times where I've just had just the hardest day in the world and come through and hear the songs playing and just chains start breaking, you know. And I'm blessed to where I get to have that at home, you know. I come home and I'll hear her picking that keyboard or singing, and it's just amazing. It's just a tremendous blessing to the family. So I want to speak to you on a thought tonight on Behold the Beauty Part 2, and this is How Shall We Do It? How Shall We Do It? And let's go to Judges chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, nor for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and shewed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man that hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, and Lord, I thank you for fresh inspiration from your word, Lord. It just means so much to me, Lord, to see things from a new angle, Lord, the same scripture we've read many times, Lord, and perhaps different times, a different moment, a different mindset, we can see it in a different way. But Lord, we know ultimately there's one true revelation of your word, Lord, and that's what we're seeking after. We love you. Be in our midst tonight. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. There are several points that I'd like to make here about the subject, and this is going to be part two of Behold the Beauty, and a subtitle of it, How Do We Do It? How Shall We Do It? The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. Now this was, it wasn't a fact that the Philistines overcame God, but it was God will not overrun their chosen will of the people. He's going to give you a free moral agency, and he wants you to make the decisions, and then you will reap with yourself. Amen. Right. And that's exactly what he did with these people. The Lord has always given man a free moral agency to choose whom he will serve. And if Hannah would pull up Joshua 24, verses 14 through 16, it says, Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I really like that, his commitment, because he says, you know what, they can serve the other gods if they want to, they can, the gods that they came out from under, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah. And that's something that we have to make a fresh commitment in ourselves. Of saying that I choose to serve the Lord. You know, I choose to be your church tonight. Amen. That was a choice that I made. And that's not against anyone that travels far, but I'm talking about if you can be in church, I think you can be in church. Amen. You would have a desire to. Here's a quote that Brother Branham talks about. He says, And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. I'm sorry, that's actually the scripture. I'm reading it again. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, or whether on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And again, that's going back to where you just got to have a commitment of saying, I am going to serve the Lord. And that's a commitment you have to make on a daily basis, of saying, I choose by decisions I'm going to make today that I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, this was a people that had a cry in their heart for deliverance, and it wasn't for just one or two days, talking about the people that come out of Egypt. This is the people that had a desire in their heart to come out of the bondage of Pharaoh. They want, and whenever they're under the bondage of Pharaoh, under the pressures, their mindset was, I just want to serve the Lord. If I can get out from this burden that I'm under, I would serve God freely. And that's truly, I believe that was truly what was in the Israelites' hearts when they were under the bondage of Pharaoh, is they truly said, if I can get free, I will serve the Lord. I will serve Him like never. But what happens many times, God would bring them out of that bondage. And then rather than doing what they said they were going to do, if only I could get out of this bondage, I'll serve the Lord. I'll be at church every chance I get. I'll give everything I've got to God if I could just get out of this burden. How many times did somebody get in trouble and get looking at prison time? They're going to go to prison for the rest of their life. They said, if I can only get out of this, I will serve God. I will put God first. I'll do everything I can. God, get me out of this trial. Because they're looking at the consequences. I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life unless God does something for me. It arises a desperation inside of them. But many times, once they get out of that clutch of the prison, they may serve God for one or two days, but they turn right back to the same things they used to do. Is that true? That's the humanity. From the beginning of time, man has done this. They'll be under bondage. They'll pray for deliverance. And then they'll pray, God, help me get out of this. And they turn right back to the false gods that they served before. And it's a perpetual cycle that they keep going in. So it makes me want to ask, what is man that God is mindful of? Because God has seen, this is what man has done from the beginning of time. They would cry out for a deliverer. God, give us a judge. Give us a deliverer. God would deliver them. And they go right back to the same old things again. And I hate to see that, because a lot of times you see that in believers' lives, that they're going through that cycle. But you don't have to stay in that cycle. You can come out of that cycle. Because we're talking about beholding the beauty of the Lord. How shall we do it? How can we have victory where we don't keep doing that same old thing again? Amen? The problem is that man doesn't want to take God's way back. And God has a way back. And what man calls the way back is different many times than what God calls the way back. Many times you'll hear somebody come back to the Lord today. Somebody give their heart to the Lord today. But if you look at what they are calling being back to God and then what God calls being back to God, I'm afraid you'll find out it's two different things.
Right.
Because God has a way back. And the church unfortunately has what they call the way back. But then God has a way where He says, this is God's provided way, where God says, this is my way back. And that's what I want. I want God's approval upon us. You'll see later on in the sermon why I'm saying that. We want it to be God that says, you're back. Because if we just say that we are, I'm back where I need to be. I come back to God. I'm serving God now. But are you really? And that's what we got to examine ourselves and say, God, am I truly back? Because Brother Graham says many times, I'm afraid we're not getting the people to Christ. They'll come to church. They'll go to service. They'll take on a form of godliness. But are they truly back to Christ? And that's where each one of us, it shouldn't offend you if somebody says, are you back to Christ? It doesn't offend me. If someone asks me, do you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It does not offend me.
Right.
Yeah. Amen?
Right.
It doesn't make me mad. It doesn't make me upset. It does not upset me if someone challenges me. I say, praise God. If there's something wrong, I want it to be challenged. Amen? Listen to what Brother Brennan says. He says, now we find out the doctors tell us that the number one killer is heart trouble. Well, I don't disagree with the doctor because I'm not a doctor. But I say one thing. Number one killer isn't heart trouble. Number one killer is sin trouble. Right. Sin is number one killer, not heart trouble. So many say today, you know, Brother Brennan, you say things too hard. We have to sin a little every day. We just got to. Someone said, you know, Brother Branham, I hear you condemning smoking. I do believe that men shouldn't smoke. I believe in holiness, cleanness, throughout soul, body, and spirit. And he said, I just got to smoke. I just got to smoke a little. I just got to do it. And we hear so many say that I got to take a little sociable drink in order to hold my job. We hear women say, I just got to cut my hair. I just got to wear these dresses that are up to date to keep my social standing in the church. If I don't, the women will say I look too old. Forgive me, but I'm going to say something. That's Pentecostal prostitution, right? The reason they do it is because they haven't tried the inoculation. They haven't tried God's serum for sin. These things, that's right. Now I'm going to tell you the way back. If you want to come back, you must get inoculated. You must take God's bomb, God's serum. He's got it. It's a double cure for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, cleanses you from sin and fills you for service. That's the way we have to come back. It's through those elements there. You don't have to do those things. You don't have to do it. And the very reason you do, he says, some minister said to me not long ago, he said, Brother Branham, I truly believe that this baptism of the Holy Ghost that you speak of is the truth. I really believe that. He said, my church teaches the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we believe you received the Holy Ghost when we believed. The moment we believed, that Abraham believed God, he was counted, imputed unto him for righteousness. I said, that's true, but then God gave him the seal of circumcision as the confirmation of his faith. I said, if you've never received the Holy Ghost yet, God's never recognized your faith. That's right. We're the children of Abraham. Amen? Amen. It's one thing for me to say I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's another thing for God to say he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's the one we want. We want God's confirmation, not our confirmation. And it's something where we have to continually strive for in the kingdom of God, striving for holiness, striving for a standard, striving for what God has called for. Because I believe God has a holy church at this hour. I believe God's always had a chosen people that will believe his word. Always had a chosen people that want to be in his presence on a daily basis. God wants it, and he's always had a people that wants it. But when there's a standard in the world where they call being in the camp, they don't say it, but that's what it is. They're in the camp of being in the church. But we got to go beyond the camp. You don't want to stay in the camp of what everyone calls the church, what everyone says this is a standard. You want to go beyond that camp because that's where victories take place. Amen? You don't want to just be a comment. You've got to go beyond the camp. And Brother Graham said the world has gone beyond the camp in worldliness. And in the example, he talked about the woman that dressed ungodly, and the guy that she was with, walking through there, and two young boys saw the woman, the way she was dressed, condemned her, they made a comment toward her about how sexy she looked or something of that sort, and the guy beat her half to death, took him to court, and he said, and the judge asked him, why would you have her dressed like that? He said, I think she looks cute. And Brother Graham said, there's something wrong with that man's mind to think that that's cute. He said, these people have gone beyond the camp of worldliness. That's not just a standard of just not going to church, but walking borderline. We're talking somebody that's gone in absolute insanity. And that was back then. Brother and sister, look at it today. The worldliness of today, they have gone beyond the camp of worldliness. It's beyond just smoking a pipe or drinking a beer. It is absolute chaos of perverted. I don't even know what else to call it, perverted. It's absolutely what it is. Of the homosexuality that goes through, people that don't know whether they're a male or a female, of going through these things. All the leadership around, how it's absolute a laughing stock of what the leadership's supposed to be, that's supposed to be leading people. They have gone beyond the camp of insanity. But at the same time, there's a genuine church of the living God. There is a genuine bride. There's always been a genuine chosen group of people, no matter how dark it is, and they will be the one that goes beyond the camp of not just saying, I'm just going to church. I'm just a Christian. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. There is a difference. You know, you can't be in the in crowd and go beyond the camp at the same time. Mm-hmm. Who knows what I'm talking about being in the in crowd? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be in the in crowd. Everybody wants your buddy. You'll be liked by everybody. But if you are in the in crowd, listen to me, you cannot go beyond the camp and be in the in crowd at the same time. You can't do it.
Right.
Because if you were living beyond the camp, if you're striving to beyond the camp, the people that were in the in crowd, they would want to be with you. Yeah. They would want to be with you going beyond the camp. But guess what? If the people you are hanging around, you're involved with, if they are not going beyond the camp, what are you doing? What are they feeding on that's around you? Brother and sister, there should be something inside of us that is striving to go beyond the camp into holiness. Amen. That's exactly right. I remember when I worked at Planters, working night shift, it was a hard time of our life. But you know what? We always pressed. You know, my wife had the little ones. She'd take them to church. And you know what? It was hard for her. There were times she'd have to go back to that cry room over and over again, and it was hard. But Brother Tony, Sister Lisa remembers. It was hard. You say, why should I even go to church? It don't matter. You ain't going to get nothing from it because she is going beyond the camp. Because I want to move of God. I want to press on. I'm pressing toward the mark and calling of Christ Jesus. It was hard. And while she was pressing during that time, I was working the night shift. And I would have my earplugs in, listen to the sermons, of listening to the message. And I remember having one time in particular, I was pushing a sanitation cart going through. And I said, God, I just want to be in your presence. And I wish I had friends. I wish we could. Me and my wife were so tired. We got the kids. We're just striving to get through this. Why don't we have many friends that come around? And this, the Lord spoke to me, just a sweet voice to come down. He said, if the people wanted to be around you, they would want to be around me. He said, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. How humbling it was to see that God would think so much of me, of telling, of showing me, I know you feel lonely. I know you feel tired. I know it feels hopeless. My wife in the cry room, talking with the children, trying to get them to church, of trying to hear the word the best we possibly can, of striving. It's hard. But what are you doing in those times? You are going beyond the camp. You're not going to be, you don't want to just be what people call a Christian, because you're not looking just for a title. It's a love in your heart. And that's the way marriage is, brother and sister. You're not looking for a title where somebody said, oh, that's a good wife. No, it has nothing to do with titles. You've got a love in your heart for your husband, and you minister to your husband out of love in your heart. Because you love him. And when you do that, you get the titles. But when you do those things, you get those attributes, and people say, wow, I wish I had a marriage like that. But when you're doing that, you're not doing it, oh, I hope someone says something. It has nothing to do with it. You love your husband. And because you love him, you're serving him. Same way a husband and his wife. Same way. And brother and sister, that's the same way it is with serving God. Where we just got a love for God. You love him so much, you want to be in his presence. Because you know what? He's our God. But what happens if we're not careful, we'll have other gods in front of us. To where God takes a back seat, to where God is so far on the list, down the list, that everything in the world will take preeminence over him. And then we wonder, well, we don't have a blessed life. And then we wonder, well, we don't have the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and in our homes. Amen. You want more of God? Put God first more. You want more, have more blessings from your husband or vice versa? Put them first more. And you watch and see. One of the greatest mysteries that you can have, well, not really a mystery, but I'm going to tell you something, young couples, if you ever listen to that. I'm not planning on going down this road, but just listen, bear with me. You want to make your wife, well, you want your wife or your husband to love you and respect you more and show more affection? Let me tell you something, put them first. Start serving them more and put your affections on trying to make them feel. You make a woman feel beautiful, she'll act beautiful. You make a husband feel like a provider, a protector, and a leader. You treat him like one, and he'll start acting like one. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. Right. You want to make God move like God? You start putting God first and start treating him like a protector. You start treating God like a provider. You start treating God with the respect that he deserves, and God will step into the shoes of that God. Amen. Amen. You got a giant in front of you, you treat God like a God that can slay giants, and God will step into those shoes, and God will slay giants. Amen. You need a healing in your body, you start respecting God as a healer, of somebody that can raise the dead, somebody that can walk on water. You start treating God like that, God will step in that shoe leather. And God will start, you want God with skin on it? That's how you get it. Treat God in the respect of the holiness of who he is. And God will step into that shoe. I believe that. Amen. You keep treating your husband like he don't know how to do nothing. You watch. Your husband won't do nothing. You treat your wife like she can't cook nothing. She can't do nothing right. And you criticize her on that. You watch and see by your own words. You will diminish your wife. Littler, littler, littler. Where she'll have no confidence in herself. and she won't do nothing, and it's your own stinking fault. Amen. Amen? But you want God to move in these things? Same way. You try treating God like he can't provide. You try talking to God or respecting God in the manner he can't provide. God can't meet needs. God can't do that. Guess what? You ain't going to have no needs, man. Right. Amen. How do we do it? Treat God in the capacity of what he is.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. My wife knows how to get me to catch a fish. She'll say, man, you sure know how to catch that fish and go. That's right, I do. Amen. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you what, by the words in our attitude, in our action, in our respect, the way we do that, that's how we can bring God on the scene. Amen. And I need God on the scene for me. There's a normal for worldliness, and that it's gone beyond normal. It's absolute off the rails of how insane the world has gotten. But in the midst of this, there's a genuine bride.
Amen.
That's moving forward. Amen. There is a bride of Jesus Christ at this hour, and she will walk in holiness, and she will go beyond the camp. Let's just look at what Brother says here. He said, God wants to manifest himself through his people, and the church wants to manifest itself through the people. More numbers, bigger crowds, richer people, so forth like that, better dressed. That's what got us in the chaos we're in. It would be better off if we all wore sackcloth. It'd be better off if we didn't have a job. Be going to one another's house and seeing if we could get something to eat. I would rather see the church in that condition and yet spirit-filled than to see it well-polished, dressed, and big things and then dying in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Say amen. Mm-hmm. Having material things does not mean you're blessed. Mm-hmm. Having physical health and not being sick does not mean you're physically blessed. Brother and sister, there's one way to know if you're blessed, and that is when this word is living through your life. When you are accepting this word and you've got the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in here, but just for a moment. In the Garden of Eden, you know what they did whenever the sin came into them? What did God do? He put a cherubim on the east side of the garden with a flaming sword to keep them out. Why did God do that? Because God was not going to let them come back into that garden and fellowship with him in an eternal sinful state. God's not going to allow to do that. God blocked them from it. You know what? One of the greatest blessings you can have is whenever you can come back through that cherubim and be back in the presence of God through the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Is that right? That's where you're really blessed, is whenever you have gone beyond the camp, where you're through that, you have gone through that flaming cherubim. You've got that fire on the inside of you. You know if you've got that fire on the inside of you. Brother Graham talked about the turtle. Hey, he had a turtle. He said, stuck in the water, trying to get him to come out of the shell. Wouldn't come out. Bubbles come out. Beat it with a stick, nothing came out. Guess what? He put it over a fire. And guess what happened when he put that turtle on fire? That old turtle began to kick. I'm going to tell you, whenever you get in the fire of God, it will begin to, you'll start to kick on the inside.
Right.
Amen? Now, I'm not saying you have to dance and kick and do that, but I'm telling you what, there ought to be something living inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. Because if it ain't got no emotion, it's dead. Amen. I would rather not have a job, having to beg and have to say, let me go to your house and see if you got something I'd eat. I'd rather see that and have that Spirit of God striving in your heart, thriving on the inside of you, than to have you all you need to make nice vehicles, nice houses, all these different things, but you ain't had a move of God in your heart in who knows how long. Amen.
Right.
Thus, having the Spirit on the inside of you is the most important thing we can have in this hour. Amen. Because we're not staying here, folks. We're going to rapture. Amen.
Amen.
We got to have the attitude that I'm going up there. Oh, brother, I love this series, brother. Short series, brother Tony, to talk about how we are a peculiar people of a different nation. Now, to us, we're not very strange. But somebody else looking at us, they ought to be thinking, that's a strange group of people. You know why? Because they're not beyond the camp. We are.
Amen.
Amen. If you're striving, if you're really beyond the camp. But I'm saying, if you're not beyond the camp, you'll be right in the same things the world is in. And it should not be that way.
Right.
Amen. I hate my guys in my work. I like them. They're good guys in some ways. No, they're good guys. But you don't hear them talking, but I can't stay there. I have to leave because it turns into perversion and filth and nonsense. Because I'm going beyond the camp. I'm not going to sit around that and dwell around me.
Right.
That's right, bro.
and sister. You've got to go beyond the camp. You know, we're going through an age, stage right now in the seasons. Women and men alike will walk around with no clothes on. Shame on you. They'll go around and striving around. You know, the scripture said that if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. But you know, what about the women that are putting themselves out there? And guys too. Amen. There's holiness. If we put yourselves out there where you're causing somebody else to look at you in a sexual manner, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be held accountable for adultery. Yeah. That's exactly right. This body is to be a temple of the Holy Ghost, whether you're male or female.
Amen.
And that then, and we have to go beyond. Now, the normal, if you go to the church world, listen, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But what are you calling back? Are you calling back to God what the church says or what God says? Right. God gave us a message in this hour. And it's a standard. It's not his standard. It's he. All he can do, any genuine prophet can ever do, is tell you what the word says. That's it. If he points at himself, he's a false prophet.
Yeah.
Amen. And the word in this hour shows what holiness is. Amen. Praise the Lord. It don't matter how nice our house is or our vehicles are or how good looking we are or we think we are. How are we in the Spirit? It's a serious question. How genuinely, how are we in the Spirit of God? Where is your walk with the Lord? Where is your prayer life with the Lord?
Right.
You know, there's people that know my wife. They know her to a level. But there's nobody that knows her like I do. Vice versa with me. Because you know what? Because there's a communication that we have. And that's the way it is with God. With the bride of Jesus Christ, everyone has a little bit of a level of a communication with God. But there's nobody that should have a level with him like the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a different level.
Right.
So how is the Spirit in our hearts? And how is the fruit on your family tree? Now, I'm not talking about family tree like your granddad or your grandpa or your great-grandma. I'm talking about your family tree, who you're around. How's your family tree?
Mm-hmm.
How's your relationship with your family tree? Because you know what? There's got to be love, trust, and a communication going through. It's exactly right, because the devil will fight against that.
Right.
He will fight that. Don't get offended. It's that these are the things you've got to guard. That's what the devil's going to hit at.
Right.
He will strive hard to break the communication between a father and his son, father and his daughters, mother and his sons, brother and the daughters. The devil will fight to break the tie between a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
He'll fight. He'll put accusations, he'll put spirits on, he'll make you agitated toward one another. What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to break the family tree. In this family tree, I'm talking about your local home. Brother and sister, your local home, that's one of the greatest sources of strength that you can have is your local home. And that's where devil will fight. He will try to divide you. He'll try to put different headships in, thoughts of headships in there. The devil comes, because you've got to have a common goal, a common vision in that home where you're striving for the same thing. Because
right.
If you're not, you're going to be divided. You're fighting one another. Our family, if we get to the end, if I can make it in this sermon before I have to quit, you'll see what I'm talking about, this family tree. What place does the word and going to church, how we dress, and what we do with our time. What place is that on our list? There is a way to victory and how to do it. But we know what to do. But are we doing it? You ever notice that when someone's going to give you a budget, a lot of time you watch this Dave Ramsey of how to do your finances, he doesn't tell you anything new. He just puts it on black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You already know what to do. And when I say, well, how do we do it? We know what to do. God gave us a message and showed us what to do. But we have to apply it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And apply it to our family. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that can mend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God had distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. If we compare ourselves to the normal church camp, we will become normal, lukewarm, and powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Because if you're commending yourself to one another, well, so-and-so is doing it, so it must be okay. So-and-so must be doing it. I love it. And I would bring the coat away. Brother Graham said, don't compare yourself to me. You compare yourself to the Word. Mm-hmm. Because I could step out and then repent and get back. He says, but if you're just following me, well, when I step out, you're going with me. And you're not with me when I repent and get back in line. Yeah. That's what we got to put the Word first. Striving first. We have to go beyond the camp. Amen. Yeah. Then we go back to our text real quick and we'll try to finish up. Back to our text. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And they were going to be delivered. They were going to be delivered into the hands of the Philistines by the Lord. The Lord's the one that was going to deliver them into it. And in the midst of all of the backsliding and what was taking place, God spoke. There was a man named Ananias, and his wife was barren, couldn't have a child. So in the beauty of this picture, you got to look at this woman and this man. They wanted a child and could not have a child in the midst of all this chaos that was taking place. And I can't help but believe that this was a couple that loved God. Mm-hmm. And this woman had the visitation of an angel. And this angel come to this woman. Didn't go to the man. Didn't go to the husband. We read the scriptures. The angel come to the woman and said, you're going to have a child. And the angel gave this woman a message of how to prepare for victory. This angel, a woman, she was barren, she couldn't have a child. This angel come to her and said, you are going to have a child. He is going to be a deliverer. This child, this was a move of God that's going to take place. He said, you're going to have a move of God. In order for you to have a move of God, this is what you've got to do. And we read the scripture of what happened. She went to her husband said, you know what? I'm going to go entreat the Lord. God, help me to know how to handle this situation. And let's just read it. It's going to Judges 13, verses 8 through 25. And it won't be much longer, but please pay attention and hold on to this last minute. I think it'll tie everything up for what we're trying to say. When Manoah entreated the Lord, said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and shewed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kit for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. I love this, how this angel said, don't do that burnt offering to me. You do it to the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings shall come to pass, we may do to thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why hast thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? So Manoah took a kid with meat and offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Amen. I love how whenever this man went to this angel and said, well, how should we entreat this? Expecting a different message. You know what he said? the exact same message he told her in the first place. He said, you just tell her the message I have already given her. Apply that. Beware of it. Amen? If God, God, give me a message of how can I get over this? He would say, I've already given it to you. I've already given you the message. All you got to do is apply it. Amen? If God was to raise a prophet, but there's no reason for another prophet. But if God rose another prophet to us, you know what he would do? He would tell you the exact same thing that was already said. Right. Amen.
Amen.
That makes me happy.
Right.
This message is right.
Right.
This man thinks that he's going to get a deep revelation. Oh, God, you better let me go talk to him, huh? Make sure you heard this right. Oh, God, give me the message. How shall we do this? Tell her to do exactly what I already told her to do. Amen.
Right.
Because you know what? When her attitude toward that, when they approached that, this was their avenue. This was their channel for deliverance. This is was how Samson was going to come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it. This was a family that was going through a trial that felt barren. And God gave a message through an angel and said, this is how you're going to get victory. Not just you, but the whole children of Israel. And the way you're going to get the victory is you've got to take this message that I'm giving you, an angel's message, and apply it to your life. And by you respecting that message and applying that message, there was going to be a tremendous deliverance that's going to take place in that family's home, the church's home, the neighbor's home, amen, the children of Israel's home. How? Because these people heard a message, and they applied it to their life. When they did that, they said, how should we do it? Do exactly how I've told you to do it. So how many want victory in your life?
Amen.
You want victory in your neighbor's life, victory in your home, victory in the church. This is how we do it. Listen to what the angel has already told us.
Amen.
Amen. That makes me feel good. Because I'm expecting deliverance. I'm expecting healing. I'm expecting joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many wants it?
Amen.
You got to expect it. You got to want it.
Right.
Not just do it. Expect it.
Amen.
And when they proved the way these people, Manoah and his wife, proved that they were listening to that message, the angel, is they did what he said.
Right.
They kept the razor from his head, and she stayed away from out of that alcohol cabinet. Amen.
Amen.
Don't drink the wine, brother and sister. Let's do these things.
Amen.
Amen. Please don't look at, because the devil comes at me like a flood, just like every one of you. I'm going to take your children away. I'm going to split these away. I'm going to cause this to come. The devil comes at me just like you. I'm fighting the same battle as you are.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So don't ever think a preacher is trying to be arrogant when he says those things.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I'm striving because this is the target.
That's right.
I want you to have a strong family tree. Not just grandparents. I'm not talking about just grandparents or great uncle. I'm talking about your local family tree that you can have fruit.
Amen.
Amen. That you can have a fruitfulness about you to where when neighbors drive by, people drive down your street, they know there's something different about your home.
Right.
Because I believe God makes a difference. He shows there's a difference between my chosen people that obey my word and people that don't.
Okay.
If we will obey his word, take the provided way that God gave us a message. If we will apply that to our life and respect it, cherish it, Lord, and feed it to one another in our home. Encourage one another. Talk about it in your home. Amen?
Amen.
I believe the scripture says, Jesus says, a man will speak for the abundance of his heart.
Amen.
May that be what we talk about. As Brother Tony said so many times, so we like to talk about fishing. We talk about, but beyond all that, beyond the camp, we love this message.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's all stand. So let me encourage you. Let's go beyond the camp and let's take this word and let's apply it to our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Because treat this child, so to speak. Train this child the way God told us. Respect it. Don't let any other false gods in front of it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and watch Brother Tony go. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace that you put into our life. And Lord, I pray that if I said anything out of tone or Lord, anything that's wrong, you'd make it right with us, Lord. Because you know the integrity of my heart, Lord. I would never do anything to offend these precious people, Lord. I love them. Lord, you've allowed us to walk together and strive together, Lord. And I just ask you that you would help us, Lord, to treat one another the way we want you to treat us, Lord. And Lord, help us to treat you the way you deserve to be treated, Lord. Help us to put you first in all things. Lord, I ask you to meet the needs. Be with us.
What do you think, you know, if you could ask God, if he would just appear right now and you could ask him, what do you think he would say? Just like Brother Daniel said. You think God would, if God speaks today, he would say something different than what Brother Brandon told us? Mm-hmm. Different than what the scripture says? Mm-hmm. No, he's going to tell us the same thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think Brother Brandon would say if he resurrected and was here today and looked out and saw the things that we see? What do you think he would say? He said in his day that if one of the prophets or one of the biblical characters, the men of God that they was resurrected and was here on earth, he said they would have him in jail within an hour.
Yeah.
Because they would be blasting out there to the people how near it is at the coming of the Lord. And so they would be. And I think Brother Brandon would be too. He just, you know, you think about the things that we're looking at, and it's just really crazy. And so, it's like Brother Graham said, if it was wrong in his mother's day, you know, if it was wrong 200 years ago, then it's wrong now.
Amen.
I mean, if it was right then, it's right now. Yeah. So, and that's true. And that's what he would say. If God would speak today, he'd be telling you, it's still the same today, just like what it was when Brother Graham was here, just like it was when Paul was here. It's still the same. And, you know, we look outside, we look at denominational churches and things like that, and we look at that and we see all kinds of things where they just bypass the Word and just ignore it. They embrace certain portions of the Word, but there's just huge portions and lots of things that they just bypass and they don't hold to them. But did you know that I can see that in messages, in message churches, in people's lives? I can name all kinds of things that the prophets clearly said, don't do these things, and I can see them in the lives of a lot of people in the message. Mm-hmm. And so, we're you know, I've been reading in Romans, and where the Lord said, Romans chapter 2, he says, you know, you that's telling people, you know, you gotta, you know, don't do this and don't do that, and thou shalt not, he said, do you think you're going to escape if you do the same thing you're telling them not to do? No, you're not going to escape, right? Yeah. And we're not going to escape if we bypass the Word,
right?
Just like they won't, right? And so, you know, what you heard tonight is we got to press on. We got to keep go beyond the camp. No matter where you are, no matter what level of righteousness in as far as deeds is concerned, a righteous action, no matter where you're at, don't sit still.
Amen.
Don't become stagnant. No pain. No gain.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is spiritually.
Yeah.
If we don't fight, you know, I said something today at work, you know, about something, and you've heard the phrase, you know, we're up a creek without a paddle. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we're going to have to go up the creek without a paddle, mm-hmm. you know. And so Brother Bram said this, you know, you're fighting against the current. You're trying, you know. He said, but if you just stop paddling, watch how fast you pass by the bank,
yes.
you know. You may not feel like you're making a lot of ground, but keep paddling, right? Keep going against the flow and go beyond the camp. And so, if people, Brother Daniel mentioned something there a while ago, and I wrote this down, but if people can see, if your co-workers, your family, if they can see that you love the Lord, that you love Him, you're not serving Him because of legalism. But if they can see that you really have a relationship and you love the Lord, it'll speak to them. It'll speak to their lives and make a lot of difference in the effect of them. So don't limit God. Like he was saying just a minute ago, God will fill the shoes that you put in you. Right? And if you know, if you put him in as a healer, then he'll be a healer.
Amen.
A savior, all the comfort, peace, whatever. Like I said the other day, put God in everything you do, every decision, include Him. Put those shoes on Him, and He'll be right there with you and help you and guide you in making those decisions. And so don't limit Him. If the Scripture said He's a healer, make Him a healer. Right? If He's a Savior, make Him a Savior. If He's a comforter or a guide, make those things. And so don't limit Him. Don't put man's limitations on God. I say that all the time. Don't limit Him and make Him where he's limited to like me and is. Let him be God. Mm-hmm. And things will be much better for you. Amen. How many enjoyed what you heard tonight?
Amen.
I don't know. I'll just start singing it and you can find it. I don't know what number it is, but.